And take your little Faith We Sing book, just a little black one in your pews, and turn to page 2171. This may be a new piece of music for some of you, but we're going to learn it, so we'll give it a shot.
I can't see her. Piano player. Beautiful words written by, it's a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Very nice. Next one is page 2193. Lord, listen to your children praying.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Chorus.
like to take just a moment here to introduce all of our singers this morning. Some of you know Jim, some of you don't. Jim Maxim, Kendra Apodaca, Jim Moore, Bruce Freeman, and you all know me, I'm Judy. We appreciate all of our singers this morning. It really makes a nice start to our morning. Turn to page 2224. Make us one, Lord, make us one. Let's prepare our hearts for worship as we sing.
Make us one, Lord, make us one. Holy Spirit, make us one.
Let your love flow, for the world will know we are one in you.
Make us one, Lord, make us one. Holy Spirit, make us one.
Let your love flow, so the world will know we are one in you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Well, good morning. Okay, so if you pay attention to the order of worship here, if there's a visitor here, make sure you give us your information on the red pad and pass them across the aisle, and that way the pastor can keep in touch with you. There's blue prayer slips or celebration slips if you need in the back of the pew in front of you, and if you'll fill them out and give them to the ushers on the first hymn, they'll get them to the pastor here. Is there any other announcements? Nope. Anybody? That's a first. All right. So I guess a little faster than last Sunday. Well, wait a minute. I guess I didn't ask you if any visitors are here to give our little gift to. Anybody for the first time? Well, you can come on up here. Okay. Anybody? Okay. There we go.
Thank you.
So it's been brought to my attention, Jim, you're no longer a member here, so you must be a visitor, since you're living in Las Cruces now.
Jim Jackson. Please turn in your hymnal, page 64, and join with us as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Please stand together. Join me. We are branches rooted in the vine of Christ. We come because we seek to abide in Christ. The branches that remain in the vine bear much fruit. We become all alive and productive. If we abide in Christ, then Christ's words will abide in us. We come because we strive to be faithful disciples. We gather for worship now to the glory of one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. May we grow wildly as God tends us lovingly. Please turn your hymnal to page 397, I Need Thee Every Hour. Join me again in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, who does freely pardon all who repent and turn to Him, now fulfill in every contrite heart the promise of redeeming grace, forgiving all our sins and cleansing us from an evil conscience, through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear Him. As far in the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's great to see you. So glad that you're here today. Let's go into prayer. Sandra Taylor, I pray for my daughter, Melissa. She arrives. But you will arrive safely in South Korea. Lord, hear our prayers. For Dick and Mary, a Scott's biopsy showed no cancer in the spot on his ribs. What a blessing. Lord, hear our prayers. Patrice Baxter was told yesterday that she will be blessed with the birth of her second great-grandson. Oh, awesome. Rachel, for my parents as new health concerns arise. And Jane Sutherland, he's in kidney failure. Your prayers, Father. Lord, in Jesus' name, we lift up all these people that we have mentioned here, Father. You know exactly where they are and what is exactly that they need. We pray, Father, for your healing hand over each one of them, Lord. We pray for your presence in their life. We pray, Lord, that above all, they will get closer to you, my Heavenly Father. We pray for wisdom over every decision that has to be made about their health, Lord, and just we give you thanks for new life coming and for allowing us, Lord, in the second season of our life to be able to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren. For all these things, Lord, for all your children, for all your people, we pray, my Heavenly Father. But we give you thanks for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children's time. The offerings. That's what happens when I...
Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful sound system.
Amen.
So, in
So he gets the final decision. for the church, for your school, and think of all the other things. Think, might need your prayers. Your prayers are like turning on a faucet. Your prayers will help God's goodness to flow into your life, into the lives of those you love. So you get that, make sense? Let's say a prayer together. You'll just follow after me, dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Help us to turn our faucets on.
Help us to turn our faucets on.
And let your goodness flow into our life.
And let your goodness flow into our life.
That was wonderful. Prayer of Illumination. Oh God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As the scriptures are read, we will listen for your voice. By your Spirit, lead us out of our fears and into the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of our souls. Amen. Well, good morning again. The next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer and the different stages of prayer. Today, we're going to start with what I believe is the number one thing and what the Bible tells me that is the number one thing, and that is abiding in the Word of God and abiding in Christ. So the reading is from John 1 to 11, and just because of one word, I'm reading from the New International Version, the NIV, and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The words abide in Christ are mentioned 29 verses in the New Testament, and a total of 82 times in the New Testament. Sometimes pastors assume that all Christians have a full understanding of this word, and to an extent, we should, or we all do. But I don't even tell my kids, abide in me until I come back. I don't do that. I just look at them and tell them, you all stay put. So the word abide, while being very religious and formal, was just not really making a lot of sense in my circle of words. So this is why I went to the NIV, because it couldn't translate either. Vine dresser, no. But when I saw the picture of the gardener, that I could understand, and that I could attach a picture to. So it is important that we abide in the Lord. It is extremely important that we fully understand what it means, because you need to be there before you start praying. In order to gain more understanding, I started digging into God's word to see what he says about abiding in Christ. In John 15, Jesus describes himself as the true vine and his Father as the vine dresser. I love the translation, but I didn't want to take it completely away, because most people would understand vine dresser. The true vine was a way to contrast Jesus with the Old Testament in Israel. The hearers would understand that he was saying that he was the Messiah and the fulfillment of the covenant, because many of the Old Testament references to the vine appear in Isaiah. So if you want to see where this idea of the vine and the vine dresser and abiding it, because without it you cannot bear fruit, you can go back to Isaiah and do a little research on your own. Jesus explains that the branches that do not bear fruit are taken away, but the branches that bear fruit are pruned to bear more fruit. To bear fruit simply means to grow in character, to become more like Christ, and to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. And this is where we come to his command to abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. In the vine, neither can you, neither can we, unless you abide in him, in the Lord. The dictionary defines abiding as to accept or to act in accordance with a rule, a decision, or a recommendation. Synonyms include obey, observe, follow, uphold, heed, and accept. All of that is in the word abide. This definition isn't far from what Jesus is telling us to do right here in John 15. But before he gets to the meaning, he gives us a picture of what it looks like not to abide in him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's John 15:6. Some people buy plants and try to care for them, but often they fail because they forget to water the plant. That blocks the plant from receiving the much needed food. And one day they turn around and it has withered away. This didn't happen overnight. It happened after a lack of care. So one by one, the branches have fallen off the plant. This, I think, is what Jesus is explaining to us in John 15, 4 and 6. He explains that by not abiding in him, we are like the pitiful plants. We will soon fall off the vine, and our roots, where we received nourishment, were never really truly planted. The fruit of the vine is proof of our faith, not perfection, but fruit, even if all we have is just a small little bud, if it's an honest one, if it's part of your relationship with the Lord, it counts. It is the Holy Spirit that takes it from there, from that point. It really isn't until John 15:10 that we get a picture of what it looks like to abide in Jesus. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. To abide in Jesus means to keep his commandments, and to keep his commandments means to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I have good news for you people. Good news for you who thinks that all this you have to do on your own. You don't. It is important that you realize that it is Jesus who provides the grace and the strength in you to do so. Your part is to have a willing heart to receive. One way that we show our love for God is through our trust, prayer, and devotion to him. We abide through relationship. We pursue love. We pray in love, and we obey in love. And here is the good news. We love Jesus because he first loved us. We didn't choose him. He chose us, and he chose us to walk out our faith in obedience to him. Apart from Christ, we cannot do anything. The fruit that Jesus speaks of is simply evidence of a relationship with him. It is a relationship that he initiates through and by his sovereign love. All of you have that seat, that platform, that beginning. All of you have it. But you have to have a willing heart. When things are difficult for me to get to, I say, Lord, I can't get there on my own, but I purpose my heart. That means I open. And in reality, the picture in my mind is my heart bowing. I am purposing my heart. That's all I can do with some of the things of life. Purpose my heart, and then let the Holy Spirit come in and walk me through the steps. My steps are just as long as any one of yours. I don't have a short way or anything. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He who called you is faithful. He will surely do it. These three things you should have memorized. And again, if not memorized, because I know that we are in a later season of our lives and we barely remember our children's names and call our grandchildren by the cat's name. Put it in a post-it. Write it somewhere. But it should be something that you should remember every day. He who began a good work in me. We'll see it through. Use your own words. But it is important that you know that God's still there, that the work of God continues. As long as you're here, the work of God continues. So how do we abide in Christ? So I picked up 4 points. One, and the most important to me, is trust God. Not trusting God to do what you want, and not trusting God to do what he wants. A lot of people tell me, well, he's going to do what he wants anyway. No, God is not going to do that. But to trust him to do what is best for you, to give you the best outcome for your prayers. 2, you must know his word. You must know what his perfect will is, and not necessarily from memory. When you read your Bible, have it highlighted. People, the Bible is meant to be written on, okay? We don't want to leave a Bible behind and have our great-grandchildren say, this is supposed to be my great-grandma's Bible, but there's nothing written here. Of course, the main thing is the Bible is the Word of God. But how do you communicate with your future generations if they don't know that this particular verse took you and walked you out of the pit, walked you through the loss of your spouse, the lust of your children, the lust of your financial status, the lust of so many things. It is good, and it is okay, and you have my permission to write in the Bible. The most important thing is highlight God's promises. That way, you know, you're going back to them. You know, write down or highlight his will. What is his will? Well, we're not going to remember it all. But we have a place where we can highlight it and say, oh my goodness, you know, this is his will for me. His will for the church. What do you think is his will for the church? His will for the church is not that every seat here would be full of people. His will for the church is that everyone will be safe. That is his will for the church. He uses us to make his word known outside of here. All of us bear a little bit of responsibility with the gift that we have been given. You need to know what the will of God is. It is important. Just like you work at building a relationship with family, friends, and your loved ones, you have to build one with Christ. Do coffee in the morning with Jesus. Let the Lord talk you in at night if you can pray at night. You need to find that time. What about the happy hour? I was just thinking about that. Whatever it is, whatever little bit of time, sit outside, get a glass of grape juice. Okay. And just have that moment with the Lord. I know so many of you do sit outside to see the beauty that surrounds us. Make that your little time. For me, it's coffee in the morning with the Lord. And I have to confess, sometimes I'm leaving the house so fast and in such a hurry that I say, Lord, get in the car. We're going. But nowadays, nobody knows that you're talking to yourself, you know, because they think you're talking on the phone. So you could just go, oh, Lord, yes, I just, you know, and this and that. So feel free. You know, any moment is an okay moment. God is not a celestial Santa Claus. He does not want to meet with you so that you can give him your personal want list. Nor does he meet with you to see if you have been naughty or nice. He meets with you to give you a chance at private confession and repentance, and to receive the knowledge of his forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you. When you confess, my advice is always say, as I believe, because it is written, that as far as the east is from the west, you have removed my sin from me. You know why? Because Satan likes to come in and remind you of stuff. But if you have believed in your heart and say it with your mouth that it has been removed from you, it just makes life easier. It makes the day easier. You have to believe that confession leads you to forgiveness. And I have so many things to confess every single day. So I think that just having that little moment with the Lord just to clean our mind and our heart, I think is a wonderful thing. When you pray, you must do it with complete assurance that he hears you and with complete commitment to accept whatever he gives to you, to trust his perfect timing, to trust him enough to wait on him, and in other words, trust him enough to remain attached to the vine. Until the flower blooms and then dies, there is no seed for fruit. The flower has to die, and when it falls, there is a seed right there. Leaving the seed behind is what birthed the fruit. Imagine that process in your lives. You're attached to the vine. your time with God is blooming. Then this flower falls off one day, but the seed is right there. You have not been separated from the vine. On the contrary, you continue to pull energy from the vine. Church, it is clear as the day is clear for us that unless you stay put by Jesus' side, you will achieve nothing. You will achieve nothing of lasting value. And the third is have enough courage to ask God to prune you, to cut off those parts that do not bear good fruit, like judging, gossip, criticism, lack of spiritual energy, unforgiveness, and to give you an attitude instead of how can I take, an attitude of how much can I give. And I'm not referring to money. I'm referring to your time, to your kindness, to your prayer life, to your intercession for somebody else, to calling someone that you know that is homebound. I am talking about how much you can give of yourself, of those things that do not have a price. It is important that as you walk in prayer, you keep these things in mind, but it is also just as important that you are able to identify the things that don't belong in that vine. One of them is hoarding. In any form, whether it are things, stuff, or money. Well, I'm not going to do an offering because, you know, I don't know when I would need it 20 years from now. Not like that. I'll share something with you. Don't judge me, though. The closet in the parsonage is the size of a tiny house. It truly is. And it's almost full with my stuff. Of course, it's all color coordinated, all the blouses, all the dresses, you know, I have it in order. I know why I have so much stuff. I know why I tend to do this. It comes from anxiety of the food lines when I was little and the two times a year with the clothes coupon. We were given a coupon. You could only buy clothes two times a year. If you were late in line, you had to wait until the next year. Because when it ended, it ended. This is what happens when the government dictates how much you should have, how much you should eat, when you're totally dependent on somebody else thinking, well, that she doesn't need more than two dresses or, you know, two pairs of shoes. Lord, thank you for shoes. Okay? It also comes when I was at the refugee camp from having three green uniforms. This has been past 40 years, and I still remember it was an ugly green. One pair of shoes for the week, and it were shoes that were so heavy, but they were really good shoes, I was told. I think they were called Buster Browns, and they were white and black, you know? They never die. Never, never die. And then we had one pair of Sunday shoes to go with our two Sunday dresses. Okay? Sometimes I'm on the line with my hands full of stuff because it's on sale and it's hard for me to pass up a sale, you know? And as I look at the stuff in my hands, I realize that I'm not back there anymore. That I have been blessed with more that I will probably use in my lifetime. So I'm willing it to my kids. The thing is that I know that that is like a hoarding spirit that still likes to travel around me. So I had to ask God to prune this for me. And he has been so faithful that he has. He has slowly, before I'm going to go and buy something, I think, how many of this do I have? because I could only wear, you know, so many. So I kind of started to stop that type of impulse to do that. And then yesterday I was talking to my best friend. She tells me, do what I do. You bring one in, you take two out. So that would be my next one. And yes, in case you are wondering, Macy's, Dillard's, Sam's, and Chico's all know me by name. And I do have them on speed dial. But I'm withdrawing little by little. I'm trying to say no to shopping. What I'm trying to say is that you have to ask the Lord, what is in my life that I'm doing out of a habit or out of a need or out of fear? In me, it comes from fear. I can rationalize it by saying, you know, you never know when we'll have a shortage in pantyhose. So when they're on sale, just buy, you know. But in reality, that's me saying, well, God is not going to provide for me. That's what it is. It's not trusting God to provide. It's called hoarding only when you do this. It's not hoarding if you have 10 pairs of shoes and you're willing, when you see someone that needs it, hand it over. That's your giving spirit. But when you cannot depart from something, that is not of God. And is saying, Lord, I have to keep it because I can't trust you to provide for me again. In closing, let's go back to verse 7, and it reads, if you remain in me, this is a clear instruction of where to start in your prayer walk. If you remain in Christ, make sure you have purposely worked at abiding in Christ. And please don't expect perfection from yourselves. Christ doesn't expect it either. Then, and then only, does part B of verse 7 apply. And my words abide in you. That's the word of God. That's your coffee time, your get in the car time, your I'm talking to myself time, your happy hour time, whatever time you dedicate to the Lord. That's your time. Ask, and whatever you wish, it will be done for you. These are just clear instructions. There are several things that you need to do. First of all, you need to know what the will of God is for your life. Because if his will for your life is not for you to have a Ferrari, now I don't know why he would think that, but if his will is not that, you should be afraid of getting it. Because he had something better for you. But you did not allow him to give it to you. The second thing is that you have to keep the connection. The relationship between you and Christ should always be being knitted, like a scarf that never ends. You know, it's something that you do. One day you talk more, another day you talk less. Some days you just don't say anything at all. I have done that. But I sit at the chair of my prayer chair, and God knows that it's just that the words are not coming out, that I am in so much pain that I just can't speak. But I still go and sit down where I always meet with him, because I figure that if he sees me there, he knows that I'm still attaching myself to him, attaching myself to the vine. Why do we need to do this and kind of like really in this order? Not because we are perfectly abiding in Christ are we going to get what we want, but because it is to God the Father's glory. It's not because we pray, it's not because we meet for coffee, it's not because we come here, it's not because we do acts of kindness. is because it is to the glory of God to give you the desires of your heart. Once you bring His will into your prayer, that is extremely important. When we pray outside of the will of God, years later, we're going to be saying, I don't know why I did that, what I asked for that. We have to be careful that we don't really get what we pray for. God wants to please you. He wants to love on you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to give you the desire of your hearts. If you're a child of God, the right desire is there. You're just allowing the world to influence, you know, TV, radio, you know, designer things, you know. They're getting in the way. But if you're a child of God, the desire is already there. The right desire is already there. So He longs to give you the desire of your heart. He wants to give you all that you need. But He wants to give you the things that are perfect for you. The perfect things He has chosen already for you. Sometimes we look at things and says, Lord, really? Give it a little bit more time. It would all become clear to you. Church, we're loved by God. He is simply asking us to obey His commandments. By this, we're able to abide in Him. Jesus tells us this so that in the time that we have on earth, His love, His peace, His grace, and His joy will be complete in us. These are His words, not my words. So after all the things that He said, this is how you abide, this is what you need to do and all that, then He's telling you, once you do all that, joy will fill your life. It doesn't mean that we will not have problems. It doesn't mean that we will not get sick. It doesn't mean that we will not lose loved ones. It just means that the joy of having Jesus in your heart will be felt every day of your life. Let us pray. Jesus, to abide in your love is a command we will gladly accept. As a fish swims the deepest of the oceans and the eagle soars the highest of the skyline, so shall we seek to abide in your love. May your word and everything it teaches us increasingly become more precious to us than fine gold and sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. For it warns us of the insanity of sin and woos us into a life of true freedom and joy. May the pleasure we find in obeying you be only second to the pleasure we have in being loved by you. And now as we lean into the demands, surprises, and pains of the day, knowing you're praying for the fullest of our joy, we will seek to live for the praise of your glorious name and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, is there anyone that have not received Jesus in their heart and would like to do so? If you would like to come to the front, I'll be glad to pray with you. And if you're shy, we can do it in my office. We can do it in your house. If I go to your house, have coffee and cookies, it will help. Come forward.
Please stand as we sing together, Abide With Me, page 700. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Another hand. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. Dear Lord, give us the strength to be fruitful branch, for you alone are my sufficiency. Enable me to abide in your love so that I may produce much fruit. Out of the abundance of your grace, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Together, Lord, bind us together.